Oh, ho, ho. Welcome to episode 157. 157 is a few weeks late. We actually recorded a 157 before, and it was a really bad episode. You'll hear a little bit about that in this episode. But outside of that, like I said, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever it is you like to say to each other. And, yeah, this episode briefly features all four of us before the flop has to bounce out and go do her thing. And, I'm going to upload this here in a little bit, so if you're looking for last-minute Christmas ideas, which some of us always are because it's very busy out there on Christmas Eve, don't forget to run by the beer salt shop before they close up as you listen to this. Put this on play, go out to your car, hop in, wait for the delay because it's going to go from your phone to your Bluetooth in your car, and then drive straight to the beer salt shop to find yourself a great stocking stuffer or just that booze you need to get through the holidays because, face it, sometimes family can be taxing. So didn't tell them we sent you. And outside of that, enjoy this episode. We've got we're not going to be on a two-week break this next one. We're turning right around on – it'll be a day late because you're going to get the New Year's episode recorded at Bender's, which will be, I think, the fourth year in a row we did that. Fourth or fifth, something like that. We've been doing the show a long time, it seems. Fourth, yeah. Anyway, enjoy the holidays. Have a great New Year if you don't listen to us before then, but you will, so – that's all I got. Enjoy the bomb and whatever Christmas music I decide to play. So, there you go.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Jingle bells, Batman smelled, Robin laid an egg. The Batmobile lost the wheel, and the Joker got away.
Hey, we are back, and we just got through quoting normisms, mainly because the flop is standing with us, and at some point she's going to walk out, and it's going to derail the whole podcast.
You're
I just know it.
It
hey, if you're going to talk, you got to talk into the mic.
That is going to be the one thing that puts this episode off the rails.
It really is. Yep. But so knowing that the flop is next to me, not on mic, that means directly across from me, sorta. He's kind of more angled than normal.
I slid over because I'm kind of sick. I didn't want to spread my germs.
That would be germ-filled Bender, and yep. Of course, to his left and cattywampus right, me would be the Silver Badger.
What's up, party people?
He's more right in front of you this time.
Yeah, and what people don't know is, speaking of Bender eruptions and Silver Badger and humble brags, my wife. Every year, Tom,
my wife.
First off, every year Tom does this, and I don't know why you and I haven't jumped on this.
It's just hard to laugh right now.
Every year Tom brings us a present, and we don't ever do anything except this year. This year,
selfish humans.
This year, my wife made us PC Bombcast shirts.
Last year, she got us. She got us.
I'm just saying, me and you jackets. Suck. You yeah. and I.
No. I know. I just wanted to give her credit for last year as well.
Yeah. She. It turns out she may be the best co-host and the best person on the show.
I mean, that's undercut Tom.
Yeah. Well, and I think that people have I think there's a loyalty to Tom out there that don't understand how truly pessimistic and dark he is.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't know what an evil person he is.
Goddamn Penny Marshall. That was 25 points I could have had.
Ooh, yeah, I guess we could lead in, man. Hey, rest in peace, Penny Marshall. That's a big loss.
Yeah, that is a big loss.
Yeah.
I forgot she did Big.
She directed Big?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
I still disagree with you on The League of Their Own being an underrated movie.
Oh, it's a fucking classic.
I think he said it's underrated, and I don't...
I think people love it.
I don't agree.
I think people love it, but I think it's one of the top 10 best movies of the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's also one of the best baseball movies, if not the best baseball movie.
I agree.
I've never seen Field of Dreams.
Oh,
so
that's a great one, man.
I just won't watch it now because of basically spite.
We're gonna keeping with our theme about what we talked about on the football episode that's coming up here, Super Bowl season.
Bum, 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 bum.
We're also, I think,
doing that episode.
Yeah, we're gonna do it, and it's just our normal episode. We're just gonna keep it the greatest football quarterbacks and teams of TV, movie, or whatever.
Oh yeah.
We'll shoot coaches too.
Oh, yeah, coaches. That'll be a good one. Coach Hayden Fox. You know, you got him. And then also. I think for baseball, we should do a baseball players, best baseball players from TV, movies, or anything.
It's closer to opening day, we should do a starting lineup from baseball movies.
That'd be nice. I like it. I just wanted to look real quick since you led off with what Penny Marshall's actual her
credits.
Outside of Laverne and Shirley, obviously.
She was a director, right?
She was a...
I was surprised her last movie was 2001.
And, there's one called Rodman, a Penny Marshall film that's due out in 2019, a documentary about Dennis Rodman.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah, she did a couple episodes, of United States of Terror, but let's get to her movies. She did a lot of TV that it was kind of snuck under the radar.
She was a master of the dramedy.
She did Riding in Cars with Boys. I didn't think that was big.
I didn't think it was good.
She did The Preacher's Wife.
Was there a pun intended there at the big?
Yeah, no. Renaissance Man, underrated movie.
Underrated movie.
Very good movie.
That's with Denzel, right?
Danny DeVito and, Tap Dancer.
Okay.
What's his name?
I'm thinking of The Preacher's Wife.
Yeah, Preacher's Wife is Denzel. This one is, Gregory Hines is in this, and it's a movie.
Rest his soul.
Yeah, it's with Danny DeVito has got to do community service, teach these slower cadets or enlistees and stuff to make them bring them up to speed.
Okay, I heard a good Danny DeVito joke the other day from Norm MacDonald.
Okay,
Danny DeVito looks like he has a short but thick penis.
I think I've heard that before.
That was the whole joke.
She did A League of Their Own.
That sounds very Norm MacDonald.
And by the way, my wife and I and our kids went to a ball game at that stadium.
It's
in Evansville, Indiana. It was a rain out. We still had fun because players got out and slid on the tarp.
And it's, isn't it the third oldest baseball stadium behind Wrigley?
And all the League of Their Own stuff is still on the walls.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then she did Awakenings. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Big, obviously. But I thought she did more movies.
All right, question about A League of Their Own. I thought this was a given, but apparently some people don't see it that way. The end scene, Dottie drops the ball on purpose, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I saw somebody today put on Twitter that they just discovered that for the first time. He always thought that Kit hit her hard enough that she actually dropped the ball.
Oh, I thought she dropped it on purpose.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And I love the movie. Yeah. But to this day, that drives me insane.
I don't know. I mean, I could see the sibling
love
there.
It's family love. That's what it was about.
My brother or I would never do that for each other.
Yeah, but you're not a woman. I think that's sort of the point.
No, these weren't normal women. These were baseball women.
Yeah. Do you know what I just...
They were the women of the All-American League. They come from mountains, near and far.
I've watched that movie probably 20 times. But I think I've maybe seen the beginning twice total. Like, I always catch it like right as Tom Hanks is coming in. I'm like, gotta watch it.
Yeah,
and you just start watching
it. Gotta go home,
it.
Get the wife the old.
The other favorite thing about that movie is when she barehand catches the ball. Everybody's like, "Do you see what you're doing?" Yeah, her and everybody that's ever played baseball can barehand catch a ball.
But they're women.
Oh, well, yeah, I forget.
Is that Fina Davis's best role?
Boy, I tell you what, A Kiss Before
I'll
Dying.
Look it up. Yeah,
kiss,
that's a good Long Kiss Goodnight.
Long Kiss Goodnight's a pretty good one.
That is a good movie.
The
Sam
Fly.
Jackson.
Yeah.
The Fly?
Or what about...
Earth Girls Are Crazy? Or what
Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice guy.
Oh, that's weird.
Lori Petty, everything she touches is terrible.
Tank Girl in the Army Now.
She's always the worst thing
those,
to remember.
Those are good ones.
She was the worst part of Point Break.
She had a good role in House. But played right into her wheelhouse, yeah. Yeah, there at the end of The House's Run. I actually was going to bring up Bull Durham because I watched a couple scenes popped up on my Facebook feed of Bull Durham. But I think I'm going to save my conversation about that till a baseball episode.
Okay.
Yeah. So April. That's the time.
You spelled Gina Davis, G-I-N-A, right?
No, it's G-E-E-N-A.
Your mom's named Gina.
Yeah. I know. That's why I asked.
Damn, Gina! Did you ever say that? Because you should every day. No. Every day she's around.
She wouldn't get it.
Your mom wasn't watching early 90s black comedies on Fox?
My mom was working nights because she worked hard.
Did she work hard for her money?
She did. She was a single mom.
For the money.
I wanted to keep going.
She's not a prostitute.
Oh, no, neither was the girl that worked hard for her money.
I don't either.
I didn't know.
That's a song.
I know.
Okay.
I don't know. Speaking of songs. Okay. So, I was going to bring this up.
Segway.
As a whole list.
Let's see how bad the segue is.
Was it Steve Miller Band's Big
Jet Airliner?
Jet Airliner song? Yeah. Up until this week, I thought it was Big O Jet and a Rhino. And I, like,
what?
My entire fucking life, I thought it was...
We Big Old Jet and a Rhino.
Yeah, right? Like, you can hear it. I had no idea it was Jet Airliner until I was listening to the radio and they were like, oh, that's Steve Miller Band with Jet Airliner. And I'm like, that makes so much more fucking sense than...
Wow.
Especially Big O Jet and a Liner.
That's
amazing. I didn't know the name of the song. And I was like, I don't know what they're talking. Why are they talking about this guy in a rhino? And I never really thought about it. And I thought it was kind of cool. Like, hey, the guy in a rhino.
When I was a kid, I thought it was we going to turn that light on. But
yeah.
Yours is way worse.
But now you want to know about Jet and his rhino, right?
No, I just want to know about you and your health.
Yeah.
Jeremy's probably the only one who's familiar with this song, Big City Lights with Scorpions.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought it was, Big Titty Nights.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's like, wow.
Well, that
like
would be more
place.
Of a Motley Crue
no, that's
song.
True. Speaking of Motley Crue, have you seen Vince Neil lately?
Oh, that God. Was a great, great, great post. Poor Vince Neil. Massive penis still. Massive penis for that overweight, awful, awful front man.
Yeah.
But yeah. I guess
so. I looked it up for like top misheard lyrics, and they're all terrible. Mine's the best.
Okay, let's hear the best five. Of course,
I'm trying to understand why last episode didn't work out.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second.
I'll look. Hold on, I'll find it.
So the last episode that we recorded,
yeah, what happened to that?
Well, I was listening to it. It turned out to be an awful episode, and I've decided that anytime, and even though you and I are like 92% in agreement on all of our politics. We argue, and it makes for very boring, and it was long.
Did we argue about politics? I don't remember.
We did, and I tried to cut it out, and it just wouldn't. I cut it out, and it went from an hour and 30 minute to an hour and 2 minute, and it just didn't work out. It just, okay. There was no.
What did you argue about?
I don't want to get into it. We'll talk about it later. But no, we talked about.
Was it like Michael Jackson? We need to get off the wall?
It was mainly about people looking for, looking for jobs and the minimum wage thing, and. And
oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, I felt like that was too much.
Other stuff, and it just, I was like, that's it. Politics are out.
Yeah, forever?
I agree.
Maybe.
So here's the list that I found, and it drives me nuts because nobody ever really thinks that these are the wrong. Like, maybe they
There's
do
a
because.
Batman, bathroom on the right. Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah, like, number, like, every time you go away, you take a piece of meat with you. Correct lyric is every time you go away, you
take
a piece
of
me with
you.
Of course, that's really, like, all of these are really dumb.
He says, of course, but he thought that song was about a fucking rhino.
But, like, that, I guess that doesn't make any sense. Mine.
It's terrible.
But anyways, here,
it's going to carry me too far away. Yeah. That rhino has a saddle on it.
We built the city on sausage rolls.
Oh,
like,
that's
and
stupid.
That's really stupid. Like, the list wasn't any fun. And I was like, there's got to be better ones than this. But I couldn't find a good list. Like, that's just dumb. Big old jet and a rhino. Seems like a story about a guy and his rhino.
And a rhino.
Well, I mean, I guess... hey, everybody say bye to me.
Bye.
I guess...
You could have got us a beer before you left.
I guess CCR did have a song about looking out my back door with elephants and... What was it? Or playing
but
in the
that
band.
That song's
so.
From like the 70s. I just thought it was about drugs.
Yeah. That the looking out my back door though is about his. He had a new son that would play and would stare outside, and it was what he imagined that his son was imagining.
John Fogerty, big asshole.
On his deathbed.
Wait, he's still.
Or is he still? No, his brother.
His brother.
Brother.
Yeah.
On his deathbed, wouldn't forgive him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when CCR got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, John Fogerty with a bunch of other people played.
Well, they had two shows.
Yeah. And
they somehow, the other guys played a show, a couple songs, and then he came on stage and played a couple songs, some other random.
Yeah, just crazy. Crazy.
So that song came out in 1977. I assume they wrote it high. And I was like, there's a guy in a
That's
rhino.
That's a good chance in 77. It could have been Coke.
Yeah.
I don't know what it. Like,
maybe they're hallucinating.
I've been a big Steve Miller band.
I like Steve Miller band.
I do like that song. I don't know what else they really do. They got a couple other songs.
Okay, real quick about music before we get too far into
music
the
makes the people come together.
Yeah.
Music. Makes the world go round.
Sure. I'm not as strongly on the side of what you have said about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and how they should change the name of it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't like it anymore. It's not that I don't agree with putting hip hop bands and Janet Jackson. I just don't like it that they're putting people in spite of other people that are older and more and just as if not more deserving. And I also hearing everyone talk about how much they control it. They don't let them pick who is inducting them. How they, you know?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They let
it's bad.
They get like a fan vote, but it's one of like five votes. So there's let's say all of us got to pick, and then we're like, all right. We'll let Missy vote, but her vote isn't worth as much as yours and I's.
That's stupid. Wait, so has it always been that way?
According to a bunch of artists over the last few years, they do not get a choice on who's inducting them. Like, they tell them, hey, you're going to come here. Here's the list of candidates that can induct you. And they will say, well, we wanted so-and-so. And they're like, well, no, this is it.
Yeah.
And they're very,
That's
you
so
know,
weird.
You've had some artists say, I don't want in your thing and have outright... You know,
yeah.
Good for you, Axl Rose.
Yeah,
you're becoming less. I feel like Axl
if they, I feel like they, if they would have nominated Rage this year, Rage would have been like, "No, you can." I like it better that we're not in it.
Yeah, I think
was it for sure for eligibility.
I think so.
Should have been. Yeah, could have been. I think that was it. Ozzy Osbourne, and we talked about that. They weren't going to do it, and then he changed his mind in his old age. But the Sex Pistols absolutely said, do not fucking put us in there, but they're going to stand by that.
I mean, I don't know. I think at this point, they have to do, just to stay relevant and be interesting, it has to be like a couple of, to keep a fan base or whatever, it's got to be a couple newer bands from like our age group that we want to see, and then like one or two older bands that, and you're never at that rate, at that pace, to stay relevant, you'll never get all of the older bands that you want to see.
Or you can do like these people were inducted before the ceremony, before the televised portion of the ceremony started, and then just do the big ones that you wanted to
do. So when you get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, like, do they put like a little section for you in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland? Like, I mean, do they just keep expanding
it? So like,
do you just like, here's a one guitar from this band, another guitar from this band?
I think what they do is, and I've never been there, but I've seen it. I think you there's a, essentially the wall for the Hall of Fame people that you put on there, and they rotate the attractions.
Okay.
So I've been to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Way more exclusive. No black people.
That's probably more.
Is it Hootie's not in there?
He's not in there yet. I think they're touring again.
Touring again, and I kind of want to go.
Yeah, it seems like
that is my first concert.
Anyway, so yeah, it's like Jeremy said, there's all these like exhibits that rotate in and out, and like the last part of the tour, you walk. Yeah, I'll pray for one. You walk into a huge room, and they have the bus all around the room. It's pretty cool.
I would love to go visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
but I am getting to where I do not enjoy some of the politics that go with what goes on there.
So speaking
like,
of
like everything, you don't want to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah. People are really enjoying.
I like
that
we should start doing
this.
Speaking of something segment. Speaking of music, I've been watching Mike Judge's Tales from the Tour Bus.
Oh yeah, it's it started as country and now it's expanding.
Yeah, so season 2 is going to wrap up on Saturday or Sunday.
Is Mike Judge the Beavis and Butthead Mike Judge?
Yeah.
And okay.
It's really good. So the country season was pretty solid, and the funk season has been really good.
Yeah, that one I saw some clips of it. I haven't seen the whole thing
yet. I'll tell you who is really underrated. Rick motherfucking James.
No, the guy was a genius.
I mean, well.
He just is a wackadoodle.
Cocaine, man.
It's a hell of a drug. Nice. I think the problem is, Dave Chappelle kind of made him a punchline, and some of his actions in his later life.
They loved him, though.
Yeah. You know? But God, his music in the late 70s, early 80s, that guy got more white women wet than the VP Fair in St. Louis.
Let me tell you.
Wow, that was a
But I've been digging into his catalog.
That was a geographical burn right there.
Yeah. That was a
very specific
deep cut for local area. So,
yeah.
George Clinton, awesome.
Oh, George Clinton's the man.
Yeah.
By the way, the funniest joke I thought about the Rick James thing was when Rick dirties up the couch and Charlie Murphy and Eddie both beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And Eddie goes, man, I feel kind of bad because, I think we should help Rick out. And Charlie goes, I think we just helped Rick out a lot. What kind of grown man knows karate? That's good stuff.
The country one was crazy. George Jones.
Oh, that guy was Renegade.
Crazy motherfucker.
Renegade, yeah.
He was married to Tammy Wynette. Mm-hmm. And one time he was so like fucking drunk, she threw all his car keys in the woods and like left
all
him.
Of his car keys?
All of his car keys.
Yeah.
So 15 minutes later, she went looking for him. He was gone, and so was his riding mower. He took his riding mower to the liquor store.
Nice.
So there was a video from Vince Gill on a good night. We can stay up late, turn on the radio. And that was a great, one of those songs that Vince Gill did. And the video was him, his wives, they took their car keys and they drove to the country club on their lawnmower. Uh-huh. And he said in an interview that was his way of paying a little homage to George Jones. And at the end, George Jones is driving up and he's driving back.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Those country guys have more drinking and coke problems than like rap stars.
Oh yeah, for sure. That was especially throughout the ones from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because it was massive money in it for them at the
mm-hmm,
time.
Mm-hmm. I still need to see the Waylon Jennings one because he's awesome.
Well, that movie was great. That was it. The dude was in it.
Sam Elliott?
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, Jeff Brewer. Was it Jeff Brewer?
I know you're talking about.
Llewellyn Davis. Being Llewellyn Davis. Or not Llewellyn Davis,
I'll
but...
I'll look it up. Yeah, it came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
It was
a
very good movie.
And it was essentially the Waylon Jennings story, but okay. They changed all the names and stuff to make it...
Gotcha. Because
they could get through with it. And yeah, that looked good.
Yeah, it was definitely Jeff Bridges, but I'll find it.
Yeah.
Crazy Heart.
Oh, yeah, I saw Crazy Heart. That's a great movie.
Yeah, really there good. You go. I have apparently drank this beer before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wonder where I've had it. So let's segue off. Bender brought us some beers that his neighbor brought back from Kentucky. Now, I think one of them is a Kentucky beer.
That one's Kentucky.
Yeah, Lexington. West 6 Brewing, and it's a 6 IPA, an Indian Pale Ale.
And he brought me some Against the Grain, but I didn't bring it to you guys because I'm selfish.
Yeah, and then a Rheingeist Cincy Made Truth, and I apparently have had this, though I couldn't tell you where I had it, so I'm going
to
look it
up. So they got a real cool, he was describing to beer shop he got these at, and he's like, oh, you go in, you have a couple beers, you taste stuff, and then you go to this.
If only we had a place around here.
Like yeah, and I was like, you know, we got a place like that here. He goes, oh, really, where? I was like, it's called the Beer Sauce Shop, my friend.
So I had this beer after my game in Pittsburgh, after the Pittsburgh Pirate game I went and saw for work at the local brew house after that.
And that was where you met the one guy who had the one app, right?
Yeah, he had it also. And I thought he was going to be just some, you know, some stoop. And turns out he was repping four digits also.
What's a stoop?
I do not dig this orange dreamboat.
I feel like it's a Jewish insult.
Oh, hey, speaking of our friends at Beer Soft Shop,
I
got a little update from Andrew when I went in there on Saturday. They're putting off plans for their Kirkwood location, and they're going to have a restaurant at the location there on Mid Rivers.
Oh, in the door next to it.
Yeah.
Speaking of local beer, since we're staying in the area.
I feel like he just glazed over. That's big news.
That is big
really
news.
Exciting. For those guys, yeah.
That's awesome.
Andrew is good people. Yep. Thank you for listening. Thank you for patronizing our show.
I told John that he reached out to me today to tell me that he had two tickets for me. He said me and Missy or one of you guys to go to tonight was
John
barbecue and whiskey.
Okay.
And he said two free tickets, and we had volleyball and a game and then this, and I was like, man, what a day to miss out.
Yeah.
I would have loved to.
Yeah, that would have been
real fun.
Yeah.
I saw today on the Facebooks, I think, that Gorilla Street Food is expanding to Third Wheel Brewing.
Hmm. Third Wheel?
No, sorry, Two Plumbers.
That makes sense.
Two Plumbers.
That makes sense.
Third Wheel has their own thing. Yeah. Two Plumbers is getting a Gorilla Street Food
That's
kitchen.
Awesome. And
that
third,
is pretty cool.
The window at Third Wheel, that guy's, he's legit.
Oh, their food's good.
He's
their nachos are
And he wins all these fucking cook competitions around.
Because he only won that chili competition. That was kind of bullshit.
Wrong guy. That guy's been bought out.
Oh, okay.
That guy didn't really play ball with the brewery, and this new dude like incorporates whatever their new beer is into some thing.
Oh,
and,
nice.
His stuff is legit. So shout out to the window at Third Wheel.
Yeah, because we went in there over the summer, and I was like, Rachel was like, we had their food on your birthday, and we didn't really dig
so
it.
Better.
And I was like, well, let's give it another shot, and it was much better. I had their quesadilla burger.
Oh, Ooh-wee. It's good, yeah. And that Third Wheel is just an enjoyable brewery to go to. The setup and everything. The beer's
Speaking
good.
Of enjoyable breweries, the wife and I took off on last Thursday.
For your own day.
Yeah.
You guys never do a couple days.
Just her and I. We went out and did our little Christmas shopping, finished that up, and then we went to Cajino's.
Narrow Gauge.
We had to Cajino/Narrow Gauge, and I had everything I wanted. It's like the best day ever. Sex included.
That's the best. Yeah,
I got some, and then
daytime
I went
sex
and I got
is so rare. I don't even know what it looks like.
And then I got meatballs from Narrow Gauge/Cajino's, and then I had their Fallen Flag double IPA, and it's probably top five.
Now, are they
East Coast or top five IPAs?
Did we talk about that on this show? But are they going to adopt the Narrow Gauge name overall and remove the Cajino's?
I don't
name?
Really know. It says like when you pull up now, it says Cajino's in their old sign, and then right underneath it says Narrow Gauge Brewing Company.
Yeah.
And they every time I go in there, there's like some other like it looks more and more like a hipster brewery, like wood paneled walls.
But
and
I tell
shit.
You what, I think
which is awesome. It's fine.
I think they're sneaky. They're in the top three they sneak into the top three of best breweries in the metro area.
I know the guy doing their
second shift and perennial. Maybe,
yeah,
I think.
You're really
hands.
Huh? Yeah, I think Four Hands is fine.
I put Four Hands up there with Schlafly. They're very good at the getting into a grocery store and like mass produced. Not mass produced because they're like so big or whatever, but it's It's a very common beer, but
it
like,
is, I mean, it's very good. I mean, if there,
it's delicious.
We can do the top 10 now, and that be a prestigious category because we have so many. And it would definitely be, might even be in the top 5. But I think those three for me, and then you know, Friendship and Third Wheel, they would round all that out. But, but yeah.
Every time I go to Third Wheel, I get something new, and I'm always impressed.
I just don't know, and I'm going to say this for the whole Midwest, and you know, we drink a lot in a lot of places, so I think this is a big boast. It's not me giving the hyperbole. I truly believe this. I think Narrow Gauge has nailed the East Coast IPAs.
Yeah, I think that guy
better than anyone in the Midwest.
I do believe their guy's an award winner at his East Coast IPAs now.
Yeah,
I need to go there again. The only time I was there was Missy's birthday, and I
was hard to remember. That was hard to remember.
I think I want to hit it on my 35th. So maybe we'll start there and get some.
Do
food.
We need to plan that? Do I need to help?
You
got to
talk
that?
To my wife.
That's the roadblock.
What day are we doing this at?
I don't know. I'll figure it out.
What day's your birthday?
It's the 23rd of January is my actual birthday, so the weekend before or after that. Whatever works for everybody else.
It's your birthday. You decide when you want to do it.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. Whatever. I mean, but I'm not going to be like, if it doesn't work for one of you two, then I'll move it to the next weekend.
When, that's so sweet. And what day is which birthday is this for you?
I'll be 35.
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah. Staying on breweries that are local, I went to Rockwell after my
you said
after
you
my
there.
15K, which Rockwell I ran. Brewery? Yeah.
Oh, where's that at?
It's right there off Kings Highway.
By the way, in the 50s. Don't downplay that. That's a
no, no, no. I made it all the way through with running. I didn't stop. I didn't walk at all. And mile 4 to 5 was the worst fucking longest mile of my entire life. And I still have a bruised toe. I'm pretty sure like my middle toenail is going to fall off from it. But it was fun. I had a good time overall. We did it in an hour, and my goal was 1:30, and I did it in 1:36.
What's the best movie about running? Is it one of the Steve Prefontaine
run
stories?
Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Or Run, Fat Man, Run.
Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Oh, yeah, that's the best one.
The Academy Award-winning Chariots of Fire?
No, or it's Forrest Gump?
Still Run, Fat Boy, Run, I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Forrest Gump's pretty
Edgar
good.
Wright,
that's Edgar Wright.
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
All those guys.
Now I got the Chariots of Fire theme song in my head.
Hey, speaking of Simon Pegg and all those guys, Green Lit.
Hot Fuzz 2. I don't know how I feel about it because it's so perfect.
Oh, is that good?
You got to watch it twice.
Yeah. I think at this point in your life, you can watch it once and appreciate it. When it was brand new and it was fresh off of Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, this is good, but it's no Shaun of the Dead.
I loved it. I mean, it's to me, it's their Club Dread. People expected so much more out of Club Dread. And if you watch Club Dread a couple more times, you go, oh, there's a lot of comedy going on there.
Yeah. Oh, man. And watching Hot Fuzz like two more times, you're like, or one more time, you're like, this is genius. It's just so good. I need to watch the End of the World one.
I think I've only watched it once.
I enjoyed it, but I only watched it one time.
I love it, too.
I didn't care for Simon Pegg's character in it. I like him always to be... And I liked what they did in it, but I don't like seeing him as an asshole, so it kind of took it away from me a little bit. But anyways, back to my run, because this is all about me.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a good time. Then we went to Rooster, got some Bloodies, and then we went to Rockwell Brewing Company. They were only open a week. And they only had two of their beers on
tap. It looks cool in the pictures inside.
Oh, man, inside is really neat. It's right there off Kings Highway and 40.
Okay.
You get off, go right, and you know, in that industrial area before you get to Cha-Cha-Cha.
Yeah, so we could hit...
On your left side.
So we could hit Narrow Gauge and then take a jaunt down to Manchester and hit Rockwell, hit Modern.
Yeah.
We could hit Schlafly on the way back. Well, that's a good... That Manchester Strip has some... I mean, it's got Civil Life just off of it, you know? I mean, they're very close to it.
So, two things...
It's got Urban Chestnut in the Grove,
So, two things about Rockwell I want to talk about. First, they only had two beers on tap, but the two they had were really good. They had a blonde lager, which is real solid, and then they had a Velvet Jumpsuit, which is an East Coast IPA. It was really, really good. I enjoyed
the
hell out of that.
Would you say the Velvet Jumpsuit was softer than the solid one you talked about?
It was very fluffy, and I just spent the whole time rubbing the table. But it was delicious. But their brewery set up really nice. But I thought the most interesting thing was when I went to pay at the end.
They said this one's on us.
No, they don't take
the run.
They don't take tips at all. Mm. Refuse to take tips, and I thought
that means they're like Steve at second shift. They're paying well.
They're paying well, which I thought was cool. But I still like the ability to tip.
You
like
a
it's
tip
great.
Anyway.
It's great that if you're paying your employees, but I think it's like you don't have to put it on your little card machine. Like at least let me give you. I guess they probably could.
So we will when we do go there in the future. We'll take cash and just leave it in the bar.
The guy was like, "We don't do tips here," and I'm like, "That's cool, but I want a tip."
They're like
I don't know if it's ingrained in this. Or how do you feel about that?
I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying.
If people are making 40K or more a year, then, I mean...
I mean, if somebody just poured me a beer, I'd be like, okay. Talking to me about beers and friendly, then I feel like
you know, there's the thing of there's a phrase that it's not really accurate called reverse racism that was popular for a while. If this is reverse Mr. Pinkism from Reservoir Dogs, because he did not tip on Reservoir Dogs. I don't tip, so this is the polar opposite of that. We don't allow tips.
Yeah. This place is right up Todd's alley. You just pay and just go away. That's a little inside baseball for him.
Yeah, I don't know that one. I don't know that one. Hey, speaking earlier about doing a different episode, we are going to...
This episode is all about other episodes.
Of the first of the year, Mr. Ken Calcaterra, who's been jumping in on some episodes here of late, wants us to be on an episode. He doesn't want all of us. He only wants two of us, and he asked for me and Tom.
That's fine.
Suck it. Because
he hasn't met you.
That's okay.
I did call an audible and say, you're better suited with John because it's an episode about comic book movies.
Okay.
And I said, I haven't really listened to a lot of Bender episodes. I said, well, Tom's never seen one comic book movie, so he laughed.
That's not true.
He laughed at that.
But kind of true. Yeah. I've never seen a Marvel comic book
movie. Yeah, that's what it was, and he laughed at that. He's like, okay, well, yeah, you guys know, so.
Yeah, good call on the audible there.
Yeah. But we talked about it. If we're gonna
I listened to that episode. Yeah, he sounded like a fun guy.
Yeah, and if we ever do a Mount Rushmore, I think he's up on that right now. He enjoyed that shout out before, and he's just a cool guy.
Yeah.
It's cool to know filmmakers. We know two.
Yeah, we gotta have him come out again.
Yeah,
Did you guys join his Twitch page?
I did.
In fact, I need to get it back to where we are streaming these damn things so people can actually see us drinking.
I mean,
stuff.
Like, I didn't dress up for you to not stream it.
I like that he got a shirt from my wife and has been wearing it around his neck like a scarf the whole time.
Man, I'm sick, man. It's keeping me warm, bro.
Oh, that's what it is.
Well, that's one of our New Year's resolutions. I know that's coming up next episode, but we got to get more guests.
We do.
Oh, is our next episode going to be our New Year's episode?
Probably. Yeah, this will come out Sunday. Christmas.
Yeah.
We're doing it at my house.
I think it's our best episode.
Well, yeah, it is a fun episode. And yeah, we're going to do, I mean, yeah, we'll bring it over.
I was going to bring up, the only thing I was bringing is the movies from 2018 that I watched, like maybe top five.
I mentioned to Tom that it'd be cool if we could find a different slant on how I'm doing a 2018 in review instead of just doing like the top ones or something. Actually, we talked about it, like you bring the top movies, he brings the top music or something, and then we can all... That way,
I don't feel like Tom's bringing the top...
Yeah, no, no.
2018
I'm bringing top TV shows.
Then we could argue about it.
Yeah.
And then Missy could do the top songs. You know, we could all argue about it.
Or we could just pick one of those that we all fall into and just argue about that, like what your five favorite songs for 2018 are.
I don't know if I have five favorite songs.
You probably do if you really dug in and looked.
It's hard because I listen to so much music that my daughters listen to that I've almost got... 2018
is a down year in music.
You think so? Drake had a decent year. Kendrick Lamar had a good year. It's a good year for hip-hop.
There are two people I do not give a shit about. Mm.
What about the old... what about Ye versus Drake? Drizzy.
Oh, Ye's back?
He's
resurfaced?
Yeah, he's been going around the mental health band, you know, chirping about mental health and stuff and how his own problems, and apparently Drake threatened his family and they've upped security around and all this stuff. There's a new East Coast West Coast feud, except it's not East Coast West Coast.
It's like the saddest feud ever.
Canadian pussies and wackadoodles. I don't even know that's a real feud, but if they don't like us, they can come at us. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I'll talk shit on them. They're whack nut jobs. I mean,
yeah, rap has definitely gotten real soft in the last couple of years. Like, Offset's went up on stage at Cardi B's concert, tried to get it back.
$15,000 in
flowers. Serious question: if, let's say it was the three of us versus Drake and Ye in a fight, would we win?
Man, we'd beat their fucking ass.
Like, just them three? Or are we gonna let them get another guy?
Nah.
They can get Kevin Hart. I think I could take Kevin.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. I can beat up Kanye and Drake. I think I can beat them both up. Yeah, I think I can beat them both. They're younger. Drake's younger. But, yeah, I could beat him up.
I like it.
Yeah, I think, Kevin Hart's small, but he's scrappy.
He can bench a lot for a little guy.
Yeah, he runs a lot.
In fact, I bet Kevin Hart could beat them two up.
I think Kevin Hart could maybe put up a decent five between
us three.
Have we talked
about Kevin Hart in the
Oscars thing? No, I don't really feel like doing Kevin
Hart. Jerry Seinfeld came out.
No,
I
we
think.
Didn't touch on it because we haven't been together since it happened. Yeah. It was last week. That's how fast 2018.
No, it's been 2 weeks ago. It's been a couple weeks. Jerry Seinfeld came out last week and said, "Oscars, it's Oscars lost." Yeah. Like, they're the ones that's missing out.
Have they picked anybody yet?
No.
No, they're talking about not doing it at all. Nobody wants to do it.
They're talking about running back by committee, bro.
Nobody they've wants
to do it. NFL.
They've only done it one other time where there was never a host.
I'll do it.
Yeah. You got my vote.
It's a thankless job. No matter what you do, if you've they're going to pull up some sort of shit from your past from Twitter.
Shit from your past.
Or they're just going to roast you the whole time, like, because you're not being you, or you're being too safe, or you're being too edgy. That's why I thought Kevin Hart was a good one.
I thought Kevin Hart could roll with that. And like,
I think Kevin Hart could have stayed in it had he just came out and said, you know, that tweet was immature and I've grown since then. But he didn't do that.
He
bowed out.
Well, what he said too, and people went after him, and he said, you know, those had already surfaced and I've already apologized for them. And I'm not saying he's
right. No, and that's right. So then he shouldn't have bowed out. Just stick it out.
Well, I think he bowed out because they probably said, hey, will you bow out? They didn't want him at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lose-lose for him anyway. Yeah.
Why don't they just like bring the dump truck full of money to Jimmy Fallon's house?
Because he got shit on last time he did it, too.
Yeah, he didn't do it. He wasn't happy. They weren't happy.
Yeah, nobody liked when he did.
When was the last time people liked somebody?
They loved Steve Martin. Or Billy Crystal. They love Billy Crystal.
Yeah. I'm a little biased. I think if they let Colbert do it,
there was a year.
But they'd have to put a stipulation on how much shit he talked on Trump because he could go all night.
Yeah, there was a year that I know.
Seth Meyers done it?
Seth Meyers has not done it. I think he could do it.
He did the Emmys or something.
Okay. Yeah.
But there was a year. And I think
he kind of got roasted for that too.
I don't remember if it was the Oscars or the Emmys, but Dan Harmon and. Ryan Novak wrote one, and they won an Emmy for doing it, or a Golden Globe for doing it. I can't remember what it was, and I think it was the Oscars. And I can't remember who that host was. I think that because they took over for Bruce Vilanch after he was had his big run, and I think that was a big year. People loved
that
year.
They should let Tiffany Haddish do it. She checks all the boxes.
Is she funny?
I don't think so.
Some people do, but she checks all the boxes. As this is the year of the woman.
I think she was.
She's a minority.
Why didn't they have Tina Fey and Amy Poehler do it?
Maybe they,
yeah,
because
they've already committed.
They've already
to the
done
other
it like
ones,
three or four
know?
Times.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't solve all Hollywood's problems. Can't even solve my own problems.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, do you watch it? I don't watch the Oscars.
No, because I think most
viewership's always down like 20 million people every year, and they're like, "Oh, what's happening?" I'm like, "Cause nobody fucking cares. Yeah, you're nominating movies that nobody gives a shit about.
No one gives a shit.
I mean, the last movie that won Best Picture was about a woman who fucked a fish.
Yeah.
I mean,
I watched that movie and I was expecting to love it because it was
Harmon, what's his name?
Guillermo del Toro. And I'm like, oh man, I love everything he does.
It was a good movie, but at the end of that,
she still fucked a fish.
Well, I want to talk about a movie here in a second that debuted today, the trailer, but it was the Hugh Jackman hosted. People raved about that.
He's charming as hell. And Dan Harmon. Him and Ryan Reynolds should do it. Oh, we just solved Hollywood's problems.
It was BJ Novak and Dan Harmon wrote that. And I believe that's who it was. And yeah, so they won the Emmy for that writing it. He said it's a very stressful job because you're writing on the fly for most of the stuff because you write something that happens.
Yeah.
But speaking of movies, the Hellboy trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked it, but I'm a little confused.
It's not Ron Perlman anymore, right?
No.
Right. It's the sheriff from Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm a little confused.
Me too.
Because the goal was to make it darker and stuff like that, and it was supposed to be more true to the comic, and the trailer was a Marvel movie trailer.
I disagree with you on more true to the comic, darker-wise, because, I mean...
That's what they said.
Yeah, all the pictures leading up to this was going to be like a deep, dark, brooding movie.
They said it was going to be an R-rated, more close to the source material is what the goal was.
The monsters, I think, are closer to the source material, I'll give you that. But I think that first trailer, they were trying to touch on the love of the other two. Bringing in that fan base from the other two.
I think the first trailer was cut to look like Guardians of the Galaxy or Deadpool.
I thought it was cut to try to bridge that gap between the last one and this one.
I've heard, the last two didn't exist.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking like for fan bases.
Some of the criticisms, I mean, I enjoyed the trailer. Some of the criticisms I heard is that they don't know if they think that he quite works yet. And a lot of people say maybe it was a prosthetics, which that's BS.
Ron Perlman looked great.
Yeah, and we're talking about David, what's his name? David,
I keep wanting to say Tennant,
you guys
and it's
talk.
Not.
Yeah, but they said that maybe it's prosthetics that were causing him to talk off. No, it's Hollywood. They're not going to get make the prosthetics are not going to keep someone from.
No, talking. No, no. I thought that's Hellboy's like talking.
David, sound. Put your boat in the harbor.
Harbor, David Harbor.
There
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
There it is. No, I thought the prosthetics were all right. I think his face looked a little harder than Ron Perlman's and a little more demonish. And I think, that's more than excuse me, more than Ron Perlman and more than the, like what Mike Mignola draws in the comics.
Well, you're not going to put Mike Mignola did in the comic straight onto the screen.
No, and you never could. But what I'm saying is, Hellboy's Ron Perlman is as close to that as I think you're going to get. And that,
yeah.
The way I'm going into it is, I really enjoyed the other two. And I think that maybe I was expecting more out of it from that perspective.
I was always
setting myself up for disappointment.
I just know when they relaunched, Mignola himself and a lot of people said that the angle for this one was going to be a horror movie.
I think it will be.
That's not the way the trailer is.
It's not the way the trailer is cut, but there's a shit ton of monsters, and there's always a shit ton of monsters.
It's more gory. We saw that right out of the game. Yeah. So, but
who's the... Is
Mila Jovovich is the Blood Queen?
Yeah, I see that. But who's the chick with the dreads in it? Is she supposed to be the fire starter?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because she explodes at one point in it.
Does she? I didn't catch that. I watched it on my phone.
Lots of big monsters. Big.
Yeah,
monsters.
Which is awesome. And I'm reading right now. I've read the first six, and I'm on the last. I'm on the 6 through 12 of Hellboy in Hell, and I'm enjoying.
Oh yeah, it was
every
a good one. I
fucking
enjoyed it.
Moment
yeah,
of it.
Not a lot of words in that series.
No, but it's what I love about it is each issue could stand on its own as its own standalone
Mignola
story. Yeah. But they just build on each other, and it's just fucking fun.
The Mignola verse is truly one of the most underrated. Ooh, maybe that could be instead of our big three going against each other, the best comic book universes.
Yeah,
we could do that for the next.
Like
episode.
I know you're not a big comic book guy. And I know you were digging Saga, but I think you dig Hellboy because it's a lot of he builds all of his universes off historical folklore.
Oh, that'd be cool. It's really, really good. And the art's amazing.
Yeah. I love the first movie. I liked it.
Yeah.
I saw the second one.
Golden Army's
pretty very
good.
Fun.
Yeah.
Very fun.
It's a lot lighter than the first one. But I still think I put Hellboy the
first one
in.
Weighed about 32 pounds. The second was more 26 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a lot lighter.
Yeah. I'd put it in the top Mount Rushmore of comic book movies, I think.
Wow. The second one?
The first one.
Oh, the first one?
I think it's fun.
What is your Mount Rushmore?
Dark Knight Returns.
Okay.
You're gonna put me
Civil
in
War.
It.
Yeah.
Guardians 1.
Yep.
And then I'm torn on the fourth one. I want to actually go ahead and give it for what it meant. Christopher Reeve's first Superman.
No.
What about Batman with Michael Keaton?
No, because Dark Knight Returns is so good.
No, it's just, Dark Knight.
Yeah, Dark Knight, that's right. Yeah,
Dark Knight. So to me, it's Dark Knight, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, we knew that was coming. That's a good, but it's an arc. I mean,
and this is
being
going into saying that I haven't seen and we're going.
We'll talk about that.
True
in a
real
second,
action.
Yeah.
These
are live action.
Live action.
True real action.
Live X.
Let's just call it.
Told you,
true
I'm running
on 4
today. So Dark Knight.
What's the total
Spider-Man 2? Six.
Okay.
Six pack, man. Come on.
Six pack. Yeah, I'm 4 out of 6.
Anyways, I would say Guardians, Civil War, and then I put Hellboy in there.
I'll take it.
Because Hellboy's a standalone movie and it's a lot of fun, and the rest of them is like, you start piling up Marvel movies, it's going
to
be tough.
The problem is if we wanted to say what comic book movies, Road to Perdition's a pretty fucking good movie. From Hell's a pretty fucking good movie, and those are all comic book movies.
Yeah, that's true.
So, it's tough.
Sin City
1's a pretty fucking good comic book
movie. I never watched the second one.
Hard movie to watch.
Is it?
Very hard movie to watch.
I saw Sin City 1 when you got married.
We're not going to break it down. We'll break it down on the New Year's episode after you see it. But I did go see Into the Spider-Verse, and me and my daughter, youngest daughter, went and saw it. And I do think that it is in the, I mean, like I said, it's animated, so it's hard to say whether it's the greatest superhero movie ever or it's in that conversation. But if you just go by animations, it's right up there with Incredibles and Iron Giant for superhero movies. It's so good.
What's it about? What's the loose plot?
It's about Miles Morales, who is the heir apparent to the Spider-Man crown. Even in the comics, he's super popular. He came from the Ultimate Universe, where Ultimate Spider-Man was killed.
Yeah.
And he took over.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young, half-black, half-Hispanic kid. And the movie is essentially just his origin story, though they put a spin on it because Kingpin is trying to bring his family back to
life. No.
That's in the first
deep.
5 minutes.
Okay.
And he accidentally brings other Spider-Man from, and it's silly. It's like Spider-Ham, which was a parody comic from Marvel. It's
Noir,
Spider-Man Noir, which was if Spider-Man was a old gangster movie, which is Nick Cage's voice.
Huh.
It's a regular 619 universe Spider-Man, which is
What's his name from New Girl?
From New Girl, the guy from New Girl, the
Jake
main,
something,
the main guy from New Girl, who's hilarious, and then Gwen Stacy, who's Spider Gwen, who's so popular, she's already got a spinoff movie in the works.
Wow.
And Hayden loved her.
Her comic book is really spun off. That was Robbie Rodriguez's creation.
Yeah, and I think it's so anytime there's a giant step forward in cool designs in comic books, or somebody, some hero, they come up with a character design that's just awesome. Spider-Man's almost always the character they do it, and I think Spider-Gwen costume's the best modern costume made.
Period. Although I really hate her code name now, because they had to change it, because obviously Spider-Gwen doesn't really fit with like a
Secret Identity.
Secret Identity, but they call her Ghost Spider, and I really hate that. I don't like her code name.
Yeah, but it is she's a cool character, and it's very good. It's very good.
It's basically all these universes colliding in
one.
Put it
this way.
It's a good comic book series, too.
When Hayden watches a movie and doesn't bitch at any point that wins it over, you've made a good movie.
Oh, there you go.
Very hard to do.
Yeah.
Jake Johnson is
Jake
the traditional.
Yeah, fucking hilarious,
he's
dude.
Great.
Yeah. And he's a divorced, pudgy Spider-Man. But he's hilarious, and it's a easy 6 out of 6. It may be
619 Spider-Man's divorced from Mary Jane.
There was yes and no. I mean, there's so much.
Don't ask too many questions because I haven't seen it yet.
In the comics he's talking about.
Yeah. That's a weird thing.
They had a demonic divorce, and there's a bunch of crazy stuff going on.
And then things didn't happen. And
It's comic books, man. It's convoluted.
It's hard.
I do truly mean this. It's a 6 out of 6, but it may be the first 7 out of 6 that I've ever reviewed.
Oh, really?
So it's so good.
Yeah.
So good. And the animation
Seven
style.
7 out of 6. Huh?
Speaking of the animation
style. It's like
style,
that cell shading type stuff. It's spectacular.
A local guy that we've reached out to that is just so busy, it's hard to get him on the show, Dan Mafood, DJ Moff.
Yeah.
His brother, Jim Mafood, independent comic, was one of the commercial designers on it. Designers on it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he does good. He does really good art.
Yeah, he's awesome. And
he's worth following on the Instagram.
You could see it on there. So, yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's well worth watching.
Sorry.
Hey, I don't think we ever jump right into this episode, so I didn't bring
jump
any
right
topics
in.
To talk about, but we talked about a lot of shit, and now here we are 50 minutes into it. If you've got something to talk about, Bender.
The only thing I want to swing back around to on the beer thing is Phil Reread asked us to touch on the 4-inch Schlafly controversy that happened.
Yeah, so I saw that.
What's up, Reread?
Yeah, what's up, Reread? When that went down, I saw that, and I happened to be with a customer of mine who is a cellaring kind of guy and a big beer fan. I didn't know anything about it until
I didn't know anything about it either.
The joint issued statement.
And I was
what you're talking about.
Oh, so speaking of the same thing on your end, I was all ready to jump on and get like your Twitter fingers and want to shit on Schlafly, but I think they did the right thing in this one.
Yeah, so apparently a Schlafly higher up.
It was like a CEO or CFO. I'll look his name up.
Sent out an anonymous
letter
to all the brewer, or the bars
like a craft,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And shitting on 4-hands.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like a craft beer weekly or monthly type press for bars only.
And I don't know. I didn't read the whole story, and details were very fuzzy.
Yeah.
But apparently it was leaked. It found out that it was he who wrote it. And so Schlafly, in a joint release with 4-hands, released an apology saying this is not how we do business. It's craft industry's a community, and he'd be reprimanded. In fact, he was fired.
Good.
So
yeah, the CFO. So basically, this
CFO,
guy.
CFO. That's a big position.
CEO. 2 days after St. Louis Brewery CEO James Pendergraft resigned, it was the CEO.
It's James Pendergraft.
How many employees is
Pender not going to work here anymore?
Pendergraft. Yeah. Penny, you go.
Yeah.
How many employees do you think they have?
Couple,
in their corporate office.
Corporate office. I bet
probably
it's 30,
less than 50.
Yeah, yeah, I bet they. Right. I bet total they only have a couple hundred people.
So he wrote an article basically, and what it alluded to, he's talking shit on 4-hands, and it alluded to 4-hands, the name being a sex act, like some sort of like current.
I think they call that like a swinging thing or something.
Yeah, it was some sort of like.
Does that mean Napoleon's coming out the aristocrats as a beer?
Yeah, next? it was like some sort of urban dictionary sex act type thing that he alluded to in the article. And Forehands kind of played it down and didn't say much about it. But Forehands, actually, if you do the tour, it's for the guy who started. His last name starts with a limp. I forget his name. But it's for him, his wife, and his two kids.
Yeah, yeah. They sold that story right out of the gate.
Sold it right out of the gate. And basically, Forehands, everyone else, Tom Schlafly and everybody else came out and said, this is not the way we do business. You're gone. We're a family when it comes to the craft beer community. And I thought that was really big, and that was awesome of them to do.
I'd like to know how it was found out who released it, because it was an anonymous letter writing in there.
Yeah, I don't really know how it came out. I think maybe there was particular. Idiot. Yeah, that was. Yeah. I mean, you're the CEO of a company, and you're acting like a fucking 14-year-old on Facebook.
A company that at this point I could say is probably profitable for a craft brewery. Yeah. I'd say Schlafly's probably making money.
I think they're distributing in 17 states, I believe.
Yeah, including New York and Chicago.
Yeah,
they've got to be knocking on the door of top 50 breweries and.
Size-wise,
yeah.
I think at one time they were top five, and then the explosion happened, and they kind of got passed.
Here's his exact quote. They're probably...
No, they really were.
Top five in the country?
No, craft breweries. Back when it... Yeah, and then it...
Maybe.
Yeah, no, they were. I remember, because it was Boulevard, Sam Adams, Schlafly, and Sierra Nevada. They were in the top 10, then there was this massive explosion.
Yeah, explosion, and like, and the smaller you are, the better you were.
Crazy people
passed
up. They just don't have that one beer that's...
Yeah, well, like you said, they're Steady Eddie. They don't do anything to
keep they're safest.
Great.
Yeah, everything they do, they do right.
And they get awards. It's just they don't... You know what? They're not sexy.
Yeah, they're not putting out the fucking passion fruit and strawberries tart sour.
And they've always been.
Have they ever done a sour?
Oh yeah, they got Gozas and sours, and I've got some Goza shirts from that year and they're great to me. In fact, Missy and I love working winter, the Cabin Fever, which is coming up in a few weeks, and we're not able to because of soccer and volleyball tournaments and stuff. So we signed up to work, and then we had to regret. And then one their PR marketing person emailed me directly and said, "Hey, I know you've missed the last couple events. We can't wait to have you back."
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was personal, and they know I've worked so many events, and I get along with them, and I always go out of my way to do more than the average. And she was like, "Yeah, we miss you."
So,
there's 100 volunteers at every event. So
here's the exact quote that the guy who got him fired. It says, "The ladies are becoming woke and are starting to ask questions." The newsletter said, "We'd like to give them a hand, but think four are proving to be too many." Like in some sort of sexual reference. And it says in a joint press release, Schlafly co-founder Tom Schlafly apologized to Forehands founder Kevin Lemp, and he accepted, and everything, you know, Forehands was named after our intertwined hands of his family, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, what an idiot. Just a fucking dumbass. Like, to drop down to high school level stuff when you're the CEO of a company is pathetic.
That's big. That's
stupid.
Yeah,
that's lame.
Like, at this point, we should all be CEOs because we know that we wouldn't do something that fucking stupid.
We should be CEOs of something.
Yeah. Oh, we're CEOs of this podcast.
Of industry.
You guys want me to assign labels to the podcast?
Yeah, I don't want to do finance. That sucks. I hate finance.
I'd probably put Tom as a CFO.
Jesus Christ.
You put a green hat on, he's fine.
I am the only one with an MBA, so I guess that means...
Hey, don't rub it in.
I'll give you COO. I'm CEO. Missy is... what other C's do we have?
CFO, CMO.
That was sexist.
That was sexist.
Yeah, that was.
Jesus, Tom, it's 2018.
This is not Madman John Hamm.
She's the vice president of fun.
The PC Bombcast would like to apologize for Tom's sexist remarks, and he will no longer be appearing on these episodes.
Yeah. We have to go back and edit him out of every episode. How odd would that be?
Kenny Wampus to my
left.
You
snap your finger, right? And I just disappear?
I don't know if I told you guys, but I saw my favorite Chuck Norris meme of all time.
Finally. I saw it. You posted it.
It was
pretty good.
Chuck Norris passed six stones. They were collected by Thanos and used to destroy half the universe.
That's pretty solid.
That's a good one. I like that.
Chuck Norris is crazy.
You know what? Before we see if Tom brought anything to the table today.
I got lots
today. Also, Re-Rat. Also, back to that Ye thing. Ye posted, and by the way, if you don't know, Ye is Kanye West. He posted on there that he'd love to go on an interview and talk about mental health, but he thinks that all of the media outlets they angle for their own story.
I don't think he's wrong.
So Joe Rogan said, man, I'll give you as much time as you want. You can talk about anything you want.
That'd probably be his best spot to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that would be awesome if it happened. Missy did say, though, that Kanye is just, even though Joe is probably one of the better conversationalists out there and open to hearing both sides,
yeah,
that Kanye is just crazy enough that it may end up forcing Joe to tell him, you're a wackadoodle. You know?
I mean, it depends on whether or not he's on his meds. I think the guy's genuinely needs medicine. I think it'd be interesting in a couple of years. You don't want me to
trigger him. Joe Rogan, though, isn't like a pushover. He's the master of the respectful challenge. Like, yeah. He's had, like, Ted Nugent on the... LSD's like, crazy great. People, he can kind of... He puts them in their place without them knowing they've put themselves in that place.
Did you give him a Ted Nugent one-upper? Did you call him Ted Nugent?
No, he was on the show.
Nugent was on the show.
Oh, was he?
And they were not arguing, but he was kind
Joe's
of...
Joe's good at arguing with you and still good. Respecting you.
Yeah, basically...
I couldn't sit... across from Ted Nugent and be respectful, because I just don't think he's a respectful human. He wouldn't pass that on to you. Well, and I think that's awesome of Joe Rogan to be able to do.
I think Nugent kind of talked about it, and it's just like, look, if you want to argue gun control with me, I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, but if you're respectful, I'm not going to make fun of you.
I disagree, but when he stands on stage and tells Obama to suck his AK-47, I think that's a little different. That's a different thing.
He's also on stage.
I don't think that's right, though. That's playing to a crowd.
Well, look at our president. I mean, talk about playing to a crowd.
Yeah, he's playing to a crowd.
And I was seeing some tweets today about him selling people out because he wants to get rid of bump stocks. It's like,
yeah.
How did you not know this was going to happen? All Donald Trump wants to do is be liked.
Yeah, he's trying to be liked, and it's and not going to work. We're not going to dive into politics.
Bump stock
thing, yeah, yeah. I agree with him on that, and I agree with him on the prison reform thing, and that's as far as we'll go on that.
What did you bring to the table today?
Lots.
Oh, boy.
First.
We don't have a lot of time left, though, so you can
make quick hits. Be quick hits.
Thanks for time first not off, being here.
Yo.
Oh, he's about to bring it down.
Carlton.
Oh, in fact, I tweeted about this. Did you see my tweet about it?
I think he's right.
Why?
No, he's absolutely... He stole that from... And he, by the way...
No, he made it up. According to the story that I read, he stole it from some artist...
He fucked himself because they've got him... TMZ's got him on camera saying that he borrowed it from Courtney Cox and Eddie Murphy. And...
He could just say it's inspired.
Well, and also, by the way, it's the Up With People dance, which started in the fucking late 60s.
But he's not the only one suing. The Backpack Kid's suing.
Again,
Little Yachty or Little Yacht or something.
All frivolous.
It's probably not frivolous.
It's not frivolous. When they make $28 million a day, all you got to do is say, hey, can I use your dance? Here's $1 million.
Okay, so now every movie, every TV show that does a Running Man and does a salsa and everything can be sued by
the
creators.
Yes, they can. That's the thing. That if it's a licensed thing, yeah.
Whoa.
But it's not licensed. You're right.
Wow, well, okay.
That's the problem.
There we go. Can you license a dance? And if they can, okay.
I don't know. It's going to get to... Like, a lot of these studios have come out on YouTube where they passed a bill that basically, like, if we're filming this and in the background the NFL's playing, the NFL can come us.
I don't know Fallout very well. I don't know Fallout very well, but, like, so that cannot be a huge part of the game, doing the Carlton.
Oh, the dances
are massive. But you pay money for them.
But dance is plural.
Yeah, there's many.
So there's many dances.
And some people have their favorites.
Okay, so you have to pay to get the Carlton?
No, you don't.
At this point, you don't.
You can pay, or you can be good enough at the game where you unlock them. Yeah. And
okay, so
yeah, so
I think if you had to pay specifically to get the Carlton dance, yes, he maybe would have a right to get some of that.
It's not called.
But here's what the problem is. I don't give a fuck about Fallout, but I don't want to see games be restricted, because this is like Ed O'Bannon ruining the NCAA games for
everybody. Apparently, the Backpack Kid's also suing NBA 2K or something.
Both of them. It's NBA and Fortnite.
I don't know the Backpack Kid is, and I don't want to know.
He's the one who does the back and forth.
He was
scissors,
the first one to do the floss dance.
The floss, that's what it is.
On camera, but the floss dance had been around
already. Is that the kid that, like, Katy Perry made?
Yes.
Okay.
But the floss dance had been around.
I don't know, man.
It's called, he didn't call it flossing. Flossing's a hip-hop
thing. Well, I don't understand why you got a guy like this who needs money so badly. And then you have Patrick Berglund, the former St. Louis Blue, who apparently doesn't need money, pissing away close to $13 million walking away from the Buffalo Sabres. Craziest story I've seen in a long time.
Why'd he do that?
He just doesn't want to
the
live
word
in Buffalo?
On the street is he just didn't want to go there. So I was blessed, hashtag blessed, to sit in the Blues alumni suite on Sunday's game.
Oh, nice.
And I was talking to Cam Jansen.
And you still talk shit.
Oh, big name. Cam Jansen.
Cam Jansen. And
is Cam Jansen an underrated star?
No, he's rated properly. He's not a big guy.
No, but he...
I mean, he's huge. He would, like... Thick,
he was
bench press your little
so
bitch ass.
He had funny MTV or ESPN commercials and stuff after his career was over and stuff. And
like on ESPN 101 here locally.
Yeah. Stuff.
No, he's a charming man.
Yeah.
So he was like sitting drinking beers.
Oh, I'm thinking of Cam Neely.
Oh yeah,
Cam
Neely
was
a little bit different.
Yeah, big time different. Yeah, Cam Neely.
Kick his ass, Seabass.
Yeah, Cam Neely was awesome.
Well, Cam Jansen is a local treasure.
He is,
and he was telling me and my dad about how he used to party with Patrick Berglund back in the day. And he was like, hey, look, was he lazy on the ice? Yeah, sure. But did he get paid too much money? Yeah, a little bit. Was it his time for him to leave St. Louis? Yeah, but he's a sweet guy. And I hate it when I see my friends just get trashed on social media.
Was he a piece of shit on the ice? Yeah. Was he overpaid? Yeah. Was he kind of a lukewarm personality? Yeah. But I love the son of a bitch.
It's kind
of
like that, yeah.
It's kind of like when, you know.
But anyway.
Like,
when one of you's not around.
Yeah,
so
when Jeremy's not around, I'm like, yeah, is he kind of a douche? Oh, yeah. Does he brag about himself a lot? Yeah, but honestly, I still like him.
I'm pretty awesome. Yeah, I can't imagine it.
I can't remember in any sport, I guess Le'Veon Bell, but at least he was holding out for more money. Of a professional athlete walking away from that much money just because... Fuck it. I don't want to live in Buffalo. I mean, I've been to Buffalo. It is a very shitty city, but...
Man, shitty cities also that much money. So
I don't know, man. Other quick hits. The most amount of tables lit on fire and smashed through.
Yeah, what
I never get tired of those videos.
Hey,
never get tired of those
videos. What were you talking about you brought up first before that? Oh, the dancing. Back to the dancing thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I...
Where do we stand on that?
Oh, I think it's retarded.
You think the lawsuits are retarded?
I think they're retarded. I don't think they're going to hold much water. I think they're not an intellectual property. And now, that said, if they can prove and they can start copyrighting them, I'm all for it. But there's not a precedence over those being in it, except maybe Michael Jackson's moonwalk.
Yeah.
But he also, though, had a game and a movie where they did it and copyrighted those things. So, I mean...
excuse me. I think the argument is there for people to want some sort of monetary funds, but I don't think that legally there's no argument.
And
I
think it's very hard to prove that you are the creator. Like I said, Carlton stole that from Up With People.
Not created.
Well, no. If we're going to talk about them getting money and stuff, then steal is the word we're looking for.
Really?
If he claims that Fortnite stole it from him, then he has to acknowledge that he stole it from someone else.
I mean,
it's tough. Got paid for it.
I got to be honest. Like, if anything, if I was Carlton, I'm like, man, I'm fucking relevant again. Yeah.
Hey, why don't you watch the Game Show Network? Alfonso Ribeiro's had a lovely career on that.
Oh. Now,
his second act is it's... humble, but it's been,
what is
it's
it?
Good.
That's like AC Slater. He's in like he does
Mario
like,
Lopez.
Mario Lopez does so many like hosting things. That guy's living the fucking dream.
According to Joe Rogan, AC Slater, legitimate tough guy.
Really? I mean, he's still fit as fuck,
and was really good at wrestling and boxing.
So. I can see that. He was a good wrestler on Saved by the Bell.
He was one of the best.
Yeah,
he had a hard time wrestling a girl.
Yeah. Not like that.
Tough episode. Couldn't
tuck his penis in.
Yeah.
Also, quick hit.
I don't know if that's got to do with him wrestling.
Christmas Chronicles. Oh. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I haven't watched
it
yet.
Good. Did you like the E Street part?
I did like old Steven.
I haven't watched it yet.
That's good.
It's worth
watching.
And
also on Netflix, The Kaminsky Method. Really enjoyed it.
I really wanted to watch it. It's who's
that
in
one?
That again? That's
it's a Michael Douglas and Alan Alda.
Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan Arkin. Who seemed
to be. Oh, that's a TV. That's a short series.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's.
Not even episodes.
Yeah, but who's the producer of it? It's like.
It's Chuck Lorre.
Oh, Chuck Lorre, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck Lorre.
Good. Yeah. And it does have some Chuck Lorre, like, you know, jokes. Good scene where Michael Douglas has to get his prostate checked, and the doctor is none other than Mr. Short, Thick Penis himself, Danny DeVito.
No,
there you go. That's fucking funny.
Man, you know his sausage
fingers are going to just be all
up
in there.
You know what? People should shit on Chuck Lorre, and I get why, but he can write. The man can craft a joke.
Yeah, and the guy knows how to mass appeal. That's great if you wanna be the niche audience guy or whatever. But Chuck Lorre, he knows how to make your mom laugh, and that's the point. That's why he stays relevant, and that's why he writes hit.
A lot of jokes where your parents would be like.
and by the way, Alan Arkin and Michael Douglas, two very good actors now and always.
Michael Douglas is fantastic in this,
and just. Charismatic sons of bitches. Yeah. So.
Well, I like Michael Douglas. It reminds me of the movie Wonder Boys. Like, he just plays a very vulnerable, like, down on his luck kind of guy. He does that role very well.
Wonder Boys, also a very good movie. Also a very good book. Who wrote that book? He wrote About a Boy. He wrote Wonder Boys.
Nick Hornsby didn't write a Wonder.
Who wrote Wonder Boys?
I don't know that, but Nick Hornsby's About a Boy and High Fidelity are his two big books.
Oh, okay.
Did you say fidelity?
No, high fidelity.
Fidelity.
Fidelity. High fidelity.
Say fidelity.
Fidelity.
You can say it. You said fidelity.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh, no. Michael Chabon.
Grammar police over here.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure you knew.
The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay. That's who it was. I knew those were two big guys at the time that were really prolific.
Have you watched Ballad of Buster Scruggs yet?
I haven't.
I want to watch it. Is it what everybody says it is?
It's a Coen brother thing. I mean,
is it?
So it's going to be fucking weird.
Is it what it says it is? Should we crown it?
I
mean, everybody's like, oh, it's so fucking great.
Crown him. We let him off the hook.
I just watched a movie.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
It's six short stories, basically.
Yeah.
I've watched three of them.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll watch the next three. I probably will at some point.
See, I watched...
I'm a Coen Brothers
fan. The Liam Neeson one is really good.
Sorry to Bother You, which is another, indie darling this year. And it was. It was very good. It was very much... It was up my wheelhouse in the workers' rights and blah, blah, blah type thing. But, man, it's fucking weird. It's fucking weird. There's some horse people at the end, and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Who's in that one again?
The guy from Atlanta. I'll look his name up. Army Hammer's in it, too.
Yeah.
The skinny guy from Atlanta.
Yeah, I know, Trump, I know. I just had to be reminded.
And it's good. It's worth watching. And the chick from, I had her name the other day, the Valkyrie from Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah, I like her. She's
fun.
Yeah,
she's great. Tessa Thompson is her name, right? Yeah.
Sure.
She's in it. And then Glenn from Walking Dead is in it.
Yeah, it's good. Well, he died, so I'm glad he could.
Well, Glenn from Walking Dead season that I watched five. I don't know.
Yeah,
I stopped watching after Glenn died. So
you're okay, I guess.
It was good, but it's similar. It was weird. Did you guys watch Outlaw King yet, though?
Not yet. No, dude, we're so busy right now.
Watch it.
I do have off.
No, I know you're talking about so busy.
I am off. The week of Christmas, and I go back January 2nd. So after Friday, which is probably going to be a slow day at work.
Yeah,
work's been atrocious of late. It's been real busy.
Not busy.
It's been busy with putting out fires.
Yeah,
how about that?
That's how mine is. But we're trying to wrap up because again, we're off from the 21st is our last day till the 2nd. We go back.
That's awesome.
Can't wait. So we're gonna do.
Can't wait.
Did you have another thing? Anything else? Last thing? Anything? Whatever. Whatever. You got anything?
Merry Christmas, guys.
Yeah. Well, we got another episode coming.
Merry Christmas.
This would be the Merry Christmas episode. If we could...
Happy Holidays.
If you could give one gift to the world, what would it be, John?
Peace on Earth.
Yeah, that's pretty cliche. But, yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
understanding. I give the ability to understand the other person's point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying agree, but understand.
I'll go with being humble.
Yeah.
You're really good at that.
I'm very humble.
Well, I mean, I'm not.
How humble brag. The word humble's in it.
Yeah, you are.
Speaking of humble, how about you, Hummel? What's your one gift to the world?
The gift to the world?
Yeah.
This podcast.
Fucking right. Slap hand. Yeah.
If I could give one gift to the world, I would give everybody iPhones with Pornhub as their main screen because I think the world would be a less angry place
less
if everybody
depressing.
Had Pornhub.
I think there's statistics that prove that countries that openly allow sex and stuff are less violent when it comes to sexual acts and stuff. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, look at Europe. They don't even have guns. Every once in a while you get a couple shootings, but it's mostly because they're down with the boobies.
Yeah, tell Paris.
Three people died yesterday.
You raise gas and and people riot. Hey, by the way, my last tip will be I did see that Chicago is not the deadliest place per capita on the planet. St. Louis still holds that pretty solid. But
on the planet, there's an asterisk there.
Chicago, St. Louis holds the deadliest place in the United States per capita. Chicago holds the deadliest place per murder rate or murders. Yeah. The murder rate in St. Louis is down. Both Chicago and St. Louis have dropped. So
yeah, Chicago dropped 40%, and we dropped 17%.
But it's still more deaths a year in Chicago than anywhere. Chirac, man.
Also, we have an asterisk there because they only count St. Louis City. Yep. And St. Louis City and St. Louis County aren't combined into that statistic.
Yeah, so that's Chicago City. These are cities.
Yeah, but that's a much larger city than St. Louis.
Yeah, I know. That's why per capita we are.
There's still a weird asterisk there.
Yeah, well, Chicago's part of
it. No, it's not an asterisk. It's per capita. That's the asterisk that you're looking for.
Whatever.
No, it's accurate. Louis, that's why the word means.
Yeah, St. Louis City's only like 330,000 people. Yeah. Chicago's like,
probably five million.
But Chicago's part of Cook County, where St. Louis City is St. Louis City.
Yeah, Chicago is part of a county where St. Louis City and St. Louis County are separated.
We will see the city and county merge in our lifetime.
Hmm. Yeah, I think we will too. Well, after we get an MLS team.
Yep.
In 2020?
And a 2021.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time on soccer, but man, you fired your coach finally.
Yeah.
Jose is gone.
He gone.
Gone.
See you, Marino.
Ass kicking by Liverpool.
I think Pogba is going to stay.
Yeah. Arsenal lost.
You're still on the Man U thing, huh?
You still ride that train?
I get very frustrated.
It's your first year. Like, you can bow out.
You can bow out anytime.
No, I'm not on the main. I like Lukaku, but he drives me insane also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed watching Liverpool.
Are they great?
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching Liverpool. Yeah,
I watched a little bit at Topgolf on Sunday. They were pretty good.
I liked watching Tottenham.
Yeah, Spurs are good.
Tottenham's good. They beat Arsenal today.
My thing is, I just enjoy watching soccer. I got two games in on Sunday.
You're a Spurs guy now, right?
You know I want to be, but honestly, I just can't leave Arsenal.
You like those Gunners, huh?
I just do. I love the Gunners.
How'd their day end up today?
They did not do good. They lost to the Spurs.
Yep, not good.
I couldn't watch the game because I couldn't fucking find it. No, it was three, I think.
It's hard not to like Liverpool because Jurgen Klopp is just a treasure.
Yeah.
He got in trouble for running out and hugging his goalie after they scored a late winner against Everton.
Mm-hmm. Nah, Liverpool's every bit of as entertaining, but when I got into soccer, I wanted to have like a fun rivalry or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna jump on the Liverpool train because it's we were the only couple people that watched soccer, so it was fun.
Yeah, I've been on that miserable terrain for 10 years.
Man, you did draw Paris Saint-Germain, and that's not good for them.
No, they're gonna get their ass kicked.
Yeah, it's gonna be ugly.
Liverpool didn't get a good draw either. They got Bayern Munich.
Yeah,
and I thought I was a little confused on the Euro Cup thing because I thought Arsenal won their bid, like made it all the way through, but they're not in the top 16.
They didn't make the cut.
I thought they were 3-1 though.
They're in the Europa, aren't they?
Ah, that's what it is. I must have confused the two of them.
So for all of you out there, the Europa is the NIT of the European soccer championship.
It's very hard to follow if you don't know what you're talking about. You got to research it and really.
You guys really want to?
I have a book called Bloody Confused, and it'll explain it all in 300 pages in a.
The fact that it takes 300 pages to explain it, it's not very good. Yeah, I would argue that it's taken 150 episodes for 57 for people to try to explain us, and they still can't do it. So that said, I think we're just going to wrap up today.
You're tall and bald. I'm handsome, and Tom's got gray hair.
Tom, let's hear what kind of enthusiasm coming off of what was a 4-1 win last night.
4-1 win last night, but I saw another total shitbuckle on Sunday. Another 7-2 loss.
Yep.
I'm 0-5 this year, so hey, you know what? Let's go Blues. And more importantly, Merry Christmas, baby. You sure look nice. That's my Springsteen impression.
Yeah. It's all. It was good. It's good.
It was good.
Oh, speaking of Springsteen on Netflix, he has his musical or his Broadway show.
Totally shit on this clothes. So, but go ahead, Bender, bring us home.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, we're playing the music.
God, that was enthusiastic.
Look, you stepped on his toes.
I'm trying not to cough. I'm trying not to fucking die right now.
Crashing through the roof in a one-horse open tree. Busting out I go.